Welcome to the TotalBrain Quarterly Earnings Investor Teleconference. All participants are currently on mute. Following the presentation, we will open the call for questions, during which time you can press star 1 on your telephone keypad to queue for a question. Thank you for joining us today. I'll now hand over to Matt, Emil, and Louis from TotalBrain.
Good morning, Australia. Good evening, North America. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today. But this is Louis Gagnon. Before we start, please note that our comments and responses to questions on this call reflect today's management views only and will include forward-looking statements. Actual results may differ materially. Additional information about factors that could potentially impact our financial results is included in our quarterly investor report and Appendix 4C. COVID-19 is severely impacting the physical, mental, and economic health of everyone on this planet. At best, we are being inhabited by fear, anxiety, and social isolation. At worst, we are becoming at risk of more serious mental conditions. TotalBrain has been tracking the impact of COVID-19 on its average user, in aggregate, of course, and our findings are rather disturbing. From the week of February 3rd to the week of April 13th, our data shows that the proportion of people who screened positive for clinical depression, anxiety, and PTSD has more than doubled. For addiction, the numbers have increased 1.3 times. This kind of data is attracting significant media attention. In a recent virtual media tour, we got 22 requests for interviews from local TV stations. We also got published on Everyday Health sites, and we participated in numerous radio shows, podcasts, and webinars. TotalBrain believes that the situation will continue to be challenging for some time as the economic impact of the pandemic unfolds globally. In that context, we are organizing a systematic and recurring effort to diffuse our data more widely. This unforeseen situation has given us the opportunity to offer help, build our brand, and create business momentum. This momentum has become evident during this past quarter when we were able to complete 7 new contracts representing minimum annual recurring revenue, ARR, of $1.9 million Australian dollars. These include a significant expansion of a large B2C affinity partnership for a total contract value of $3.9 million Australian dollars over 3 years, or an ARR equivalent of $1.3 million Australian dollars. This new contract represent a 4.7x increase in value. We also won a contract with one of the largest US-based Fortune 500 oil and gas companies to provide our application to all of their employees and dependents, representing $394,000 Australian dollars in ARR. The U.S. employees of BDO, an international accounting firm representing $210,000 Australian dollars in ARR, was another key win for the team. We also inked an important strategic partnership with One Mind at Work, a premier coalition of 25 leading employers representing 6 million employees, aimed at creating mentally healthy workplaces. We are thrilled to be partnering with One Mind, which was founded by billionaire and philanthropist Garen Staglin who invited us to speak with them at a well-attended webinar where we launched our partnership. We are actively working on forging new partnerships of this kind that can provide scale to our operations in every target vertical. One of these partnerships with IBM continues to develop in the right direction, despite the fact that, as one would expect, COVID has slowed down funding decisions for non-COVID-related items. We did make tangible progress with the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, and we remain convinced that GRIT will benefit a great number of veterans in 2020. We just don't know exactly how many and when it will happen yet. We need to continue to exercise discipline, patience, and compassion. The VA did get hit by the worst pandemic in our history, and it is, after all, the largest health system in the U.S. So while we exercise the right mix of pressure and patience, we are not sitting idle. In the last quarter, IBM and Total Brain have started conversations with a dozen new sizable opportunities at various levels of the U.S. public sector, and we intend to continue to do so in the coming weeks. During the March 2020 quarter, we collected $1.5 million in cash receipts, which represents a 120% increase quarter on quarter, driven by a large upfront payment of $813,000 for a data licensing contract closed in the prior quarter. Adjusted for this amount, the March quarter figure represents a 4% quarter-on-quarter growth. We expect continued cash receipts growth in the June quarter following the upfront payment to Total Brain by some of the recently signed contracts. Lastly, we are very pleased to announce that we received $1.2 million from the U.S. government via the Paycheck Protection Program and an additional $0.2 million from government relief programs in Australia to be received over the next several months. The funds will be used to offset payroll costs for company employees in both the United States and Australia. I will now quickly review the progress made in each business function during the March quarter. In product and technology, a bigger team is increasing velocity of product delivery across multiple streams of work, client infrastructure, and core product experience. We launched a new anxiety journey in our application as a direct support to COVID. This module provides easily digestible content and training that is specifically targeted towards helping individuals alleviate their anxiety. We also completed a major contract and security work for 4 implementations. As part of our work with the American Heart Association, we made good progress in testing discrete and continuous methods of reliably measuring heart rate variability, otherwise known as HRV, and we are optimistic that we will integrate it into the Total Brain experience in 2020. In sales and customer success, while I have covered most of corporate sales updates in my initial remarks here, I would like to make a few comments on our testing of the clinical market. We have just added to the pilot another middle market clinic which serves 2,000 patients per year in the Boston area. The new clinical functionality of the Total Brain software, which includes a clinician portal and custom reporting, has resonated with practitioners so far. The team is now focused on developing workflows and training tools for the clinicians to make best use of Total Brain. We continue to be excited about the clinician product market fit, which drives improved intake efficiency, incremental revenue opportunities via insurance code reimbursement, and patient outcome monitoring. In marketing, we have been very proactive in creating COVID-19-related content, including white papers, interviews, blogs, and podcasts, building a strong PR presence. We published a bespoke mental health study among U.S. employers following the initial spread of COVID, and all details are available on our website and quarterly updates. We are planning to soon create an index to help the public understand the impact of COVID on mental health and productivity. Finally, our account-based marketing strategy targeting employers of 5,000 employees or more has doubled the monthly run rate of qualified leads for the month of March 2020. In human resources, in addition to what we have already mentioned in my remarks today, we have continued to source and fill key positions across engineering and product, which are critical to timely product development and ultimate success of the Total Brain application. We also have transitioned all employees to a work-from-home environment with minimal business disruption. We have delayed some decisions on future hiring, and we will continue to monitor the current situation closely, as we will be evaluating all staffing decisions based on capacity required to support the market demand for our product. In closing, we are all uncovering this new business environment on the fly. For us, it will be both unfavorable and favorable. On the one hand, customers and prospects are in crisis mode. This is not favorable for quick decision making. On the other hand, customers and prospects know that mental health is the number one collateral damage of this virus. And that is very favorable to generating new opportunities in the short to medium term. My conviction is that, like any other business, we will meet bumps in the road to 2021, and we will need to be agile as we steer our ship into new agitated waters. At the same time, I see that we are better positioned than we have ever been to provide a meaningful, science-backed, scalable solution to what is already one of the world's biggest challenges. We are very encouraged by the last quarter and remain laser-focused on the following priorities. 1. Proactively penetrate various verticals of the B2C affinity market in collaboration with our partners IBM, AARP, and Everyday Health, while seeking new opportunities. 2. Accelerate sales cycles of B2B corporate revenues via continued execution of the account-based marketing strategy, the launch of a pull strategy with OneMind, and the penetration of new and existing channel partners. 3. Test product market fit and scalability of the addiction clinic market. And 4. Retain and upsell our existing book of business. This concludes my updates for Q1 2020. We are infinitely grateful for your trust. And as always, we remain committed to creating significant shareholder values in fiscal year 2020 and beyond. I will now open for questions. Danielle.
Thank you, Louis. And everybody, welcome to the Q&A session. To ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. That's star one on your telephone keypad. The first question comes from the line of Finola Burke from RAAS. Thank you, Finola. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning. And congratulations, Louis, and your team on a great Q3 result. I just wanted to, if you could give us an update on the One Mind at Work take-up and interest from the coalition partners. I know it's early days, but if you could give us a bit more colour around that. And secondly, I noticed just via LinkedIn that you've joined forces with the Centre for Adolescent Research and Education to help students in transition. This is something that's quite dear to my heart since I have 14-year-old twin boys who are struggling with the COVID-19 environment by the remote learning. I just wondered how quickly you'll be rolling this out and if there's any changes that you need to make to the existing program to provide this to students.
Yes, thank you so much, Finola, for your questions. On the One Mind partnership, this is obviously very much the very beginning of this partnership. We have launched the partnership last week, I believe, with some of the members of the coalitions. I think there was something like 25 to 30 businesses attending that webinar. We launched this webinar together with the representative from SHRM, the Society for Human Resource Management in the U.S. We were presenting the COVID data and also talking about a potential free trial. I can tell you that I personally got one reach out from someone on LinkedIn following this asking for the free trial, and we are in the process of following up with other attendees with our partners at One Mind. I do not expect that it's all going to happen overnight, but the tone and the direction and the reaction is very, very positive up until now. On the CARE partnership, there is currently no plans to change the application that we have other than to test amongst that population how they react and use the product that we have. As we learn and as we see the traction and or the potential issues that this population might have using it, we will adapt. But our conviction at this stage is that our product will be 100% appropriate to their needs and that we will provide those teenagers a very precious tool to, one, monitor their state, two, build awareness of their brain, awareness of their mind, and provide them with some very concrete self-care tools that can help them manage and self-manage their state and their conditions and their capacity over time, at a time where we study, at a time where we enter university, there is not a better timing for one to understand their brain and train their brain. And in that sense, we are very, very enthused by both the partnership and the access to a new demographic that it provides.
Thank you. I think Finola dropped off the question queue there at the end. Just a quick reminder, everybody, to ask a question to Matt, Emil, or Louis, it's star followed by one on your telephone keypad. So just pause a moment to assemble another question queue. So we have here we go, thank you. We've got a question coming through from the line of John Hester from Bell Potter. Thank you, John. Please go ahead.
Oh, good evening, Louis. Oh, good morning. Good to hear from you. And look, Louis, I'm just reading through the quarterly announcement here. Can you give us an update First of all, just on the financials, what is the current annual recurring revenue, do you understand at this particular point?
May I ask Emil to take this question? Thank you, John, for the question.
Yeah, John, this is Emil. The current ARR is between 3.5 and 4 million Australian.
Okay. And does that include this is in here, it says during the quarter, TTB was able to complete 7 new contracts representing minimum annual recurring revenues of Aussie 1.9 million. So that 1.9, is that included in that estimate you've given me?
It's not. So including ARP, including some of these other contracts, we are, you know, at about 4.5 to 5.
Okay. So 4.5 to 5 after those contracts come into play. And when would you expect that they will begin to bill? I mean, so is that from like 1st of July this year?
Usually our typical payment cycle is 45 to 60 days.
No. I'm not asking when you get paid. I'm asking when you...
We'll start from a revenue point of view, from an invoicing point of view. We'll start invoicing in the month, in the first month of Q2, so April, May, depending on the actual deal and implementation.
Okay. Then just back to Louis. You clearly had a 7-year contract. That must be a record for the company, I would say. You know, since the COVID-19 crisis has started, Louis, I mean, some of our other, I suppose, interests or contacts, companies that we follow in the healthcare industry have seen a severe slowdown in revenues and just ability to access healthcare professionals, really, in the US. Is that going to be a factor for your ability to continue to win new business at this time?
Yeah, very good question, John. As I tried to explain in my update, I think there is both an acceleration and a deceleration based on what discussion this is, who we're talking about, and what is the precise relationship that this party has with the COVID-19. I'll give you an example. The VA got swamped with the crisis, and therefore we had a slight delay in them making the funding decisions on the veterans. But at the same time, the need for a solution has accelerated a dozen other conversations with other departments than the VA within the public sector in the U.S. And as those entities are not necessarily directly delivering health services to the population, they do have bandwidth, and it is part of their mandate to care for the mental health of those population. Mental health, from our point of view, when we look at both employers and big consumer groups, are constituents that need the solution, the benefit, the service that we offer, and are not overwhelmed like your traditional healthcare providers by the current delivery of service. So for us, these are all good guys. On the clinical side, because we have decided to focus on the addiction clinics, we have not come across an overwhelmed system. It's quite the opposite. They see the need rising, and they definitely are interested in pursuing discussions. And we have had, John, very broadly, a great number of discussions with people who are delivering systems and services and governance who are very, very interested in the service that we offer. And so on the whole, I think this is going to be positive for us, pending any bumps in the road, as I said before. I think that over the next few months, we will see an acceleration of our revenue as it started to show in Q1 of this year.
Good. Just to have a couple more questions, if I may continue. In your final 4 points, you talked about increasing the rate of penetration into corporates. Verticals was the word you used with IBM. You've had some success with that already. Can you break out that point and just maybe in a little more detail, please, just to give us some sort of more idea of what that actually means?
Yeah. I will maybe ask my colleague, COO Matt Moon, to take this one, as he's been very closely involved. But generally speaking, it has to do with a very elaborate process that organizations like the VA have to undertake in order to fund programs like these. And I will let Matt provide more details. Matt?
Do you mind repeating the question, please, just so I have it clear?
Yes, so one of Louis's final points in his wrap-up comments was penetrating verticals, corporate verticals, with IBM. So that's sort of code for, you know, increasing corporate business-to-business customers is what I understand. Can you sort of break out the key elements of what you're going to do to achieve that goal?
Hey, Matt, let me maybe specify. I did not understand the question properly. I thought you were wondering if I could give you more details on what I qualified as being progress with IBM, and that's what I asked Matt to comment on.
Let's go forward with that.
To maybe do that, and then I talk about, and Matt can also comment on the general corporate thing. They're two different things. So Matt, go ahead.
Sure. So it's a great question. Our relationship with IBM is an enterprise level agreement. So it's not just for what we've disclosed and discussed around the work we're doing with the VA. This has the ability to extend our opportunities across many different sectors and segments, of which we are working with our business partners there to investigate. At this time, we're not disclosing some of, obviously, that's more opportunity pipeline work, but it suffices to say that across both commercial and the federal side of the business, we've been building opportunities that we are actively investigating.
Okay. Well, that's fairly general comments. Louis, anything else there, Jay?
Yeah. So one last thing about IBM and the process for the VA. As you can imagine, there are many potential funders, starting with the individual VA budget, going to the payers that collaborate with the VA, and philanthropies, and different corporate sponsors. And so when we refer to progress that has been made in this time, we refer to tangible actions and meetings that are indicating to us that this is all moving in the right direction. Some of them more formal, some of them less formal, but that's what I was hinting at. And as far as the corporate world, where we believe we will continue to have increased engagement is through this account-based marketing strategy where we go out there in the web. We've identified thousands of potential employers, and we go after them on the web wherever they are, on LinkedIn or Facebook, and we put some good, great, relevant content in front of them, engage them to a point where we qualify them as marketing leads and pass them on to sale. This seems to be picking up momentum on top of everything else that we are doing, and we believe that the momentum will continue in the months to come and hopefully nourish the growth that we've seen recently. Finally, with One Mind, our play here was to leverage the relationship that Mr. Staglin has with 25 of the top CHROs in the countries by engaging them with real data and create an aspiration, have them call us as opposed to us chase them through a partnership that is going to provide them with information in the form of an index, a mental health index that a corporation could subscribe to or a corporation could consume regularly in order to understand how they're doing. And so these two big initiatives are really what's going to drive the demand in the corporate side in the months to come.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, John?
Yeah. That's a good overview. And just finally, in relation to the addiction market, there is a bit of history of the company in the addiction market. But one of the things I never really understood was, do addicts, you know, drug addicts, alcohol, whatever it might be, do they actually, is there any data to suggest that once they've used the program that they are better off, as in they have reduced their habit, they have seen a tangible benefit that allows them to sort of rejoin society in a normal way? I'd be really interested to see any data that you may have along those sorts of lines.
Yeah, we'd be happy to share data. For now, understand the positioning. We are not a treatment for addiction, and we are not a treatment for mental health. What we are is a very precious tool where someone can monitor the state of a patient, screen to see how this patient is doing outside of the clinic, number one. When we have now detected the risk, we can send the patient back to the clinician and give the clinician information he's never had about this patient's state of his capacity, state of mind, etc., to help with the treatment plan. After this, we continue to monitor the impact of the plan, and we offer self-care. Self-care is not treatment. It's an adjunctive thing that someone does on his own. And when people have done that for 2 hours or more, we have moved the risk of them having depression, addiction, and anxiety symptoms by very significant amount. And as I said, I will follow up with an email to you, but these were very significant amount. But it's not a public clinical trial where we have control for everything else. And that is the limit to the data that I will share with you.
I see. Okay, well, that's great. Thank you very much, and congratulations on a strong quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, John. Your next question comes from the line of Larry Simon, who's a private investor. Thank you, Larry. Please go ahead.
Morning. I guess, Louis, I will echo everyone's sentiments and congratulate you. Certainly heading in the right direction. I guess this is a question for yourself and Evian. I just want to get and excuse me if you've covered this before. I was actually a little bit late to the call. I just want to get a status update as to what's happening with the iSpot. Clearly, depression is going to be a big issue going forward. So.
Yes, absolutely. Very, very good question. I love that our investors are still aware and interested in iSpot. It's an asset that I value very dearly. So, Larry, the short of it is, Last year, we built the first genomic test to predict the remission of a patient for depression if the patient was to use one of the three most used antidepressants. We have started, beginning of this year, the process to replicate this test. So we did the test, got the certain positive results, and now we are replicating it with blood that we had kept aside for this purpose to see if our test is actually valid and reliable over time. So I cannot tell you what the result of this replication trial will be, but I can tell you that we're very hopeful that it will replicate. And when it does, we will have a completely new life to that asset that will be either sold or licensed to partners who could be from the genetics industry or who could be coming from the pharmacy benefits management industry, or who could go direct to the consumers through big mental health groups and or directly to consumers who suffer. So these are the potential places that that we will look. We are really interested in seeing what this will be. But note, Larry, that this is not for us a core activity. We do not invest a lot of time and resources. This is something that was kind of a continuous stream for us to see if there was a there, and we will have the answer to that question by the end of this year, hopefully by October, November. And I stay tuned for the result. But it's both exciting and yet not the core priority as we speak and as we are dealing with a raise in momentum in our other activities.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Larry. Your next question is a follow-up question from Fenella Burke from RAAS. Thank you, Fenella. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I just had a follow-up question on the on your R&D spend. Going the last couple of quarters, it's been down on previous years. And I just wondered, the development of the product, what we can expect on expenditure going forward.
Yeah, so I will let Emil comment on the accounting of the R&D spend, but I will say that this is not at all an indication of the resource that we spend in developing innovative products and infrastructure for us to deliver more value to our customers and our shareholders. We are, in fact, Fenella, launching more products than we have ever had. Matt and team have been accelerating the release of very, very key user experience features recently. We have finished to convert all of the brain trainings that we have. We have, at the end of last year, released the new result interface. We are launching very, very soon a significant improvement to the user engagement platform in terms of training and in terms of how they interact with the training. We are launching communications platform from within the app to accelerate the engagement. We have launched a new anxiety training recently. So these are just the highlights of what has made it. And when you add to this what we're going to do in terms of HRV by the summer, it amounts to a very good amount of innovative features that add a lot of value. So I'm very, very pleased on what's happening there, and I will maybe let Emil comment on R&D numbers that you might have been referring to.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Fanola, yeah, I echo Louis' points. I think it's just purely looking at the numbers. It's a matter of bucketing and, you know, what is capitalized and also over what time frame we're looking at things. On a quarter-by-quarter basis, things tend to ebb and flow sometimes. That's just the nature of how we capitalize and also just the nature of the business. But as Louis said, you know, the core sort of R&D activities persist, both on the science front and the productization of that science.
Mm-hmm.
So we sort of remain committed to continuing that in the future.
But would you expect a little bit of an uptick in core spend or sort of a maintenance of where it's at? Have been at the last couple of quarters.
Relative,
is there a seasonality in the expenditure?
Yeah, I would say relative to the numbers that we just published, the next quarter will likely be slightly higher as this quarter, just the sort of the core expenditure was slightly higher than the quarter before. Over the last, you know, several months, we've added more talent on the product and engineering side, and that's really the driver of these increases. And they're critical to us, not just delivering against these signed contracts that we have, but also innovating and delivering a better product that we can sell in the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Fanola. Just a quick reminder, to ask a question, it's star one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Scott Berry, who just, he might have pressed it again to drop off, so I'll just go look for him in a second. Here we go. Scott, if you're trying to ask a question, your next question comes from Scott Berry, who's a private investor. Thank you, Scott. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you, Louis and team. Congratulations again on another strong quarter. Firstly, I've just got a few questions regarding the same kind of topic. So I'm interested to know how the trial went with the National Baseball League. You stated that you were going to trial the staff and then then trial the players after that.
Yes, thank you so much. I will pass that question to Matt, if it's okay, Matt.
Yeah, yes. Thanks for the question. We are still in discussions with the MLBPA, and so that hasn't launched yet. As with many other the recent sort of larger crises has definitely slowed things down, but this is still an active discussion with them. So this is not yet launched.
Okay, no worries. And also just on that, just wondering if you've received any interest in any other major league sports, you know, considering how much pressure everyone's under with the current circumstances.
Great question. We had seen some very interesting interest from lots of different areas and are still in conversations with quite a few parties around this. Nothing that we can talk about or disclose at this time, but certainly ongoing discussions there.
Scott, I will add, this is Louis, that a lot of those leagues right now are struggling figuring out their business models, and until they have figured out the economics of their future business, the top priority seems to be that, as opposed to anything else, even though there is a clear acknowledgement that there is an issue to be addressed.
Okay, I appreciate that. Just one last question, Louis, directed at you. In an Australian Financial Review article published late last year, it was claimed in that article that you hope to achieve $100 million in sales within the first 5 years of you joining. I'm just wondering, you know, with a bit over 2 years remaining, if you still believe that is achievable.
If you had a camera, you would see a nice smile in my face. The answer is yes. I do believe that it is achievable, and the way there is just a little more kind of lumpy than I expected. I expected it to be maybe a little more linear than it will be. But if it has to be exponential, I'll deal with that.
Okay, that's good to hear. Again, congratulations on a strong quarter, and thanks for your time.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. That's all the questions we've got at the moment, so maybe one last reminder. If you'd like to ask a question to Nigel, Emil, sorry, Matt, Emil, or Louis, it's star one on your telephone keypad. Gentlemen, it looks like we've got no further questions that are coming through, so I'll hand back over for any additional or closing remarks.
No closing remark for me other than just a big thanks for all of you to be here with us. I think that it is a record quarter, but it is also a record call, which based on the number of attendance and questions, I think we've had many of us with us today, and I really appreciate that. I wish you all health, and I am very grateful for your continued support. So thank you, and enjoy the morning or the evening, depending on where you are.
Thank you, and that concludes today's Total Grain Quarterly Earnings Investor Teleconference. Thank you for joining us today and for your interest in Total Grain. We wish you a pleasant day.